Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Lynn Worthy covers the Chiefs for the great Kansas City Star, and they got a huge game on Thursday night at Arrowhead against the Chargers. Lynn, happy holidays. Thanks for coming on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for having me, and happy holidays to you, too.
So take me back to, first of all, the first game at the opening of the season when they played him in L.A., and the Chiefs looked fantastic, and everybody was like, wow, look at this Mahomes guy, because, you know, he had been standing on the sideline. They had seen him play once, right, or something like that, and then he came out as the starter. They made all the changes. Alex was gone, and this guy comes out and just lights them up in L.A.
Yeah. I mean, he had played the final regular season game last year in Denver. You know, he saw little glimpses of him in the preseason this year. There was still some question marks. I mean, you know, you saw ups and downs in training camp. Just, you know, interceptions were one of the things that people had questions about, just how he would handle things in his first, you know, real experience as the starter. And then, you know, you go out to Carson, California, and Tyreek Hill sort of spotted him almost, you know, a couple of quick points. I mean, he had a punt return for a touchdown, and then reception that he took, you know, I think he caught it probably like 15 yards downfield and then took it, you know, another 40-something for a touchdown. So, and then from there, they just sort of kept rolling.
So what is the status on Tyreek Hill after, you know, he pulled up lame late in that game with his foot? It looked like a leg to me when I was watching it, but it was actually the foot?
Yeah, it was. They were saying it was the heel. And he actually, I mean, so early in that game on Sunday, he came out for a few plays. It looked like he took a hit on the hand, the wrist area. Then he came out just before the half on with the heel foot injury there. But he still, you know, continued to play. Obviously, he made that huge fourth down conversion that they had that, you know, was all over the highlight reels. It helped them sustain that drive that went and tied it and ended up getting them into overtime. But he did not practice yesterday. Today he was limited. We did a little bit of practice that we were out there for. He was out there. He definitely had his right ankle taped pretty heavily. But Andy Reid seemed to indicate Monday that, you know, I think his phrase was, if I were a betting man, I'd probably bet on Tyreek being able to go.
So if they didn't have Lynn Worthy with his KC star, if they didn't have Hill and they've already lost Hunt because of what he did, and everybody knows the story about him with this woman and then, you know, kicking her allegedly and everything else of the fight in a nightclub as well. So they get rid of him. If they didn't have either one of those guys on the field, how, like, would they fall that drastically in terms of your eyes of like how they would be as a football team? What would they do without him? Because they've already lost the other guy and they're still really good. If they lost him, what would happen to him?
Yeah, well, and they've been playing the last couple of weeks without Sammy Watkins, too. But I think Hill is really, because of his speed, because he makes the defense have to make tough choices. I mean, they still – I don't think the offense would, you know, stop completely. And then you still have the matchup problem that is Travis Kelce at the tight end spot. But, I mean, you go back to that game, you know, just talk about the Chargers, the next opponent up. I mean, that game, the first game of the season, he had – 169 yards receiving, two touchdowns. I mean, and that's just the receiving, not including, you know, the punt return for a touchdown. So he's the, you know, he's a big play guy. He's a speed guy. He makes you have to decide how you're going to cover. If you leave him one-on-one, then that's, you know, you're rolling the dice in a big way. And then he makes, you know, he makes openings for other people because of the way you have to cover him. So, it's still sort of to be – it's still a little tough to see how exactly they would look. I mean, they'd have to probably do some things differently. I don't think they would all of a sudden get conservative, but it would definitely be a different offense.
How did you feel when they got rid of Hunt about the whole situation and incidents?
Well, you know, they seemed to – I mean, there was a while there that day where there was, you know, sort of radio silence where you weren't hearing anything after the video came out because – all indication is that was the first time they'd seen it. But then they moved pretty quickly to decide, you know, that he was, you know, that they were going to cut ties with him altogether. From a, you know, the larger picture, the big picture. I mean, I think it was probably what the, you know, they had to do. It was obviously, you know, you can't really, there's no justifying that. There's nothing, I guess if they felt like, you know, they could help him and do some sort of redeeming, then maybe they make a case for it. But I mean, for a team that obviously had stood by him and, you know, been the ones that drafted him, scouted him, all those sorts of things to cut ties with him, I think it was a pretty, you know, definitive statement in terms of that they weren't going to have that. It was just a matter of, you know, they didn't necessarily come out and sort of explain their rationale behind it until, you know, just this past week when Clark Hart finally sort of said some words on it. But as far as the action, I think the action was probably justified. And, you know, it was for the team, it was more of a just a next man up sort of a thing.
Lynn Worthy with the KC Star. So when Mahomes threw that ball across his body on the fourth down to Hill, when you saw that pass in that moment, in that dangerous throw, which is what it is, because, you know, I saw Josh Allen do the exact same thing on Sunday in Buffalo, and he got picked off. It's, you know, to me, a very, you know, high-risk, rookie-type mistake, if you ask me, throwing that ball. But it was so well thrown. It was such a laser, and it was such a strike. But when you saw him roll out and throw across his body in that moment, what did you think, that he was making a mistake or that it would happen?
I wasn't sure if he was making a mistake because he had to do something. I mean, he wasn't going to gain that by running at that point. But I didn't think it was going to be completed. I mean, when I just look at it up in the air, I was like, oh, that's I figured that's probably the game because, you know, it's fourth down. I'm like, I don't think that's getting you anywhere. It looked like it was more of a, you know, just out of his hand, not seeing Tyreek just sort of in the moment. I was like, oh, he's just heaving that up hoping. But then you see how it works out, and it's like, well, it's sooner or later you just got to stop doubting this kid because you see him do stuff that, you know, I mean, whether it was that game, I'm trying to remember if it was San Francisco, where he turned around probably like three times and scrambled and threw that one in the corner of the end zone to Conley. I mean, he's had a couple of those plays where you just say, what are you doing? How can you pull that off? I mean, earlier in that game, he throws a no-look pass where it was a true no-look where he leads a guy, Marcus Robinson, hits him in stride. So when you see it in the moment, you know, if you've watched football and you know what sort of things you're not supposed to be able to get away with, you probably say that's a bad play. There's no way that works out. And on that play, that specific one with Tyreek Hill on fourth and nine, they end up with, I think it was 48 yards. So, I mean, I'm not really sure what the words are to explain it, but around here people are just sort of starting to get used to Patrick Mahomes doing things that you're not supposed to be able to do.
Yeah, he's incredible. I think he's the MVP, but let me ask you this. They've lost their last six playoff home games at Arrowhead, and I was saying last night, and I'm old enough, believe it or not, when I was a little kid, I met Len Dawson, got an autograph with him, and believe me, when I showed up at Arrowhead Stadium with my uncle who played football at Missouri and got me to meet Len Dawson, I was wearing plaid pants, and I can prove it. I was rocking the plaid pants, Len. And to me, that's the last guy that ever did anything for the Kansas City Chiefs. Why do you think they fail so miserably in the playoffs? And do you think they're going to fail again, or do you think they're going to finally break the ice with Mahomes?
I'm not sure that there's one reason. If I was trying to say what's been going on in the past, I'm not sure if you can put it all into one reason. If it's, you know, whether you want to start subscribing to theories of bad luck or cosmic significance and all that other sort of stuff, or if it's just been, you know, they get too conservative at key times. If things are going to be different, I think the main reason people would probably point to is Patrick Mahomes having the ball in his hands and the fact that he's not afraid to take risks and that he's not afraid to make plays and that he's, you know, when things break down and you need a guy to make a play, you can't just rely on the offense. You can't just rely on things going according to plan. He has that knack for making things work out, finding a way. So if things go differently, and I think there's probably a good amount of folks around the Kansas City area who believe they will. And I think the number one reason on that list has got to be Patrick Mahomes and what you've seen from him so far.
So let me ask you, Thursday's a huge game. And I actually, because they're 6-0 or something like that at home, they don't lose. But they sure do in the playoffs lose. So everyone talks about Arrowhead in January, going to be 10 degrees, maybe worse, freezing cold, huge home field advantage, blah, blah, blah. And you know it's true. Everyone says it. You can't win in Arrowhead, except everyone wins in Arrowhead in January. Why is that? And do you think that Philip Rivers can beat them Thursday night, because that guy, what he did in Pittsburgh, that's what he can do to anybody. And I can't believe, to be honest with you, he's like Dan Marino to me, honestly, that he's never been in a Super Bowl. That guy is a badass.
Well, I'd say, it's definitely not one of those ones that I would say it's a guaranteed win for the Chiefs. I mean, I think it's going to be, you know, it could be a dogfight. I think it's going to be one of those games where who is able to be on the field is going to have a big part of it, especially on a Thursday night with the short turnaround. I mean, it sounds like, the Chargers, their running backs may be banged up and might not be able to get out there. It sounds like Eckler in particular probably won't be out there because, you know, the last you heard was concussion. So concussion Monday, I don't see how that happens on Thursday that he gets out there. Gordon sounds like he's iffy. It sounds like from injury report that he was able to do something out there today. But that's going to be a big part of it. I mean, you go back to that last game they played at the beginning of the season. I think Gordon and Eckler had almost 200 receiving yards on top of, the rushing yards that they produced. And running backs out of the backfield have been something that's given the Chiefs a problem all season. So their absence could definitely bode well for the Chiefs. The Chiefs, I mean, they're running back, Spencer Ware was banged up. He finished that game last week, but he was banged up and he hasn't practiced this week. So who's available in the short turnaround, I think, is going to have a big, big say in this. And then we're still not sure, Eric Berry could be making his return this week too. So availability is going to be a big thing. I think the fact that they're playing at home and home teams have had success on those Thursday night games is also something to factor in that works in the Chiefs' favor. And I think, sounds like Tyreek will still play. That offense has still been looking pretty good. And they may even have some new wrinkles because it looks like Kelvin Benjamin may be able to go this week. They just added him last week, but it sounds like they're planning on him maybe getting some time and maybe giving them something else in that offense.
Yeah, lazy Kelvin Benjamin. He's a real game changer for everybody. I mean, Buffalo, they love him up there with the performance he gave them, which was nothing. I can't wait to see that guy, how lazy he is playing for the Chiefs. I don't think Andy Reid would put up with it. Listen, I want to say one last thing to you. I've had bone spurs and inflammation in my heels. I actually have it now. I play basketball endlessly. And I got to tell you, there's nothing that hurts worse than like heel inflammation, scar tissue, and bone spurs. I'm telling you, if that guy Tyreek Hill has agony in his heel, there's nothing worse. Like, you can barely walk, let alone run as fast as he does. It's going to be interesting to watch that guy's body from now until the end of January to see if he can hold up, because he looks to me like he's starting to get banged up. You're awesome, Lynn. Always great having you on the bench. Good stuff. Enjoy the game Thursday. Thanks for coming on the bench.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. Beware of inflammation in your heels, Lynn.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.